Holanza, oh, pray that night. And in their pain, they began to sing. Let's sing like they sang. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. They sang, they sang, they sang. I bless. No matter what the situation, I bless your name. No matter what the condition is, I give you all. Oh, no matter the trial, I give. No matter how deep you go through, you are, you are, you are.
The truth and the way.
Of the Lord. It's more wonderful when you come in and what is on your mind is the first song that is sung. Then it gives you faith to know that you are on the right track. So we thank God for these blessed old songs, Paul and Silas. We are looking again at the life of Paul this morning. I've been trying to find things in the ministry of Paul, of how he dealt with situations in his life and compare that to how he preached the word. Because when there's a difference between what you preach and how you live your life, it's hard for people to believe you. You know, you should live what you preach, because your life is a greater sermon than any sermon that you can ever come up with, or maybe even ChatGPT can put up for you, you know. So it's wonderful to look in the scriptures and see how Paul preaches. Brother Branham says, I preached what Paul preached. And we are all resting on that. That's what we say to the prophet. We are resting on that. So when we go and look at what Paul preached and check how he lived his life up to the standard of what he preached, it must provoke you to try and live according to that standard, because you won't go in on any less, you know. Any other standard will not do. So I would like to read from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again, Lord, for your grace that's allowed us to be in your house this morning. As we look at these scriptures for Sunday school class this morning, we pray, Lord, that you may help us to look more into it, Lord, that we may see how Paul conducted himself, and that we may also learn from this, Lord, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we come on the same basis as he came, Lord, you'd also do the same that you did for him. May you grant us this grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just when I think I'm getting it right, you know, and I start looking smart and try to look, you know, like the smart brothers, somebody walks in and raises the standard, you know. Yeah, today we have Mzee Chaba, you know. He has raised the standard. Now I have to get something like that from Congo. As they say, you looking good, brother. It's very nice. May God bless Brother Eli. It's good to have you back again. It will be good to have you back behind the pulpit. So Paul, we saw last week, that the things that he taught people that you should obey your masters, you know, pray for them and don't be dilly-dally and be lazy about your work for your masters. Do what's right with them. And we saw him counsel a brother who had run away from his master to say, you go back there. Even though this brother was very, very profitable to Paul, yet Paul would suffer the loss of that brother just so that the word of God could be fulfilled. And today we can read that kind of an example and see that when Paul said things, he just didn't say them to fill up a letter or to fill up scriptures. You know, sometimes preachers come and they say things, you know, around the word of God just to fill up the 30 minutes of Sunday school. But not Paul. You know, what he said, he lived up to it. And when you look at examples like that, that's what we must be like. When we take God's word, it's sacred, this word of God. And when God has revealed it to you, you've got to live up to that word of God. At least desire to live up to the word of God. So here is another word that we have read in 1 Timothy 2. And he says, I am exhorting you that first of all, supplications and prayers and thanksgiving and intercessions be made for all men. And he said, all men, it's not easy when the situation is placed right on your lips. Because we can sit in here and say, supplications and prayers be made for all men. And we can say, amen. But then when the time comes to pray for all men, and you've got certain men in your life that maybe have rubbed you the wrong way, it becomes difficult then. Say, should I pray for such a man? But the Bible says to pray for all men. This is acceptable unto God. And you know, he goes on further, because we can say, yeah, yeah, amen, praise God, supplications and prayers be made for all men. And we all believe it and say amen. And we go home and pray for all the brothers and sisters at church, you know. But we are limiting ourselves when you do that. So I'm glad Paul had a verse 2. Because he said for kings too. We must pray for kings. Hey. In our days, it's praying for the prime minister. Yes, and that is acceptable unto God. We've got to pray for kings, for all that are in authority. Paul was exhorting Timothy that you must do these things. It wasn't just a general sermon. This was a letter that he had written personally to Timothy. And he says, I'm exhorting you that first of all, prayer should be made for all men. So when we pray, we should not forget this, that we pray for all men, because it is acceptable and good in the sight of the Lord. Let's look at an example of Paul doing this kind of a thing in his life. I think that Paul went through difficult things in his life. He went through circumstances that maybe if some of us go even through a quarter of them, it will not be an easy thing, you know. But one example of this is when Paul was arrested and then he was sent to Rome. And I would like to use that this morning to show that Paul didn't just write scriptures for us, but he actually lived according to those scriptures. Amen. And God was pleased with it. It was acceptable and good in the sight of God, that to the extent that God did mighty miracles for this man. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 27. I'll read from verse number 1, and we'll just pick a few things from there and use them this morning. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So Paul was a prisoner at this time, and it had been determined that he must go to Rome because he had appealed unto Caesar. So they sent him to Rome, and so he was delivered unto this here man called Julius, a centurion. He was a soldier. And I'll tell you one thing. Soldiers, Roman soldiers, were looked down upon in Israel because they represented everything that was wrong in society. They were fables, Jewish fables about Roman soldiers. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. If you were in some way to do with Roman soldiers, you were considered the lowest in the Jewish society, because these were people that were looked upon as they have caused all the problems that we have, you know. So now for Paul to be put in the hands of a Roman centurion, and having that in his mind that these are the people that nailed my master to the cross and are responsible for all the ills in our society, it's not easy to place yourself under such a man. But Paul was placed under this centurion, and he was supposed to bring him to Rome, where he had appealed unto Caesar. And so he was delivered to him. They entered a ship and so forth. And verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Here is a soldier who has been committed to bring this prisoner to Rome. But there must have been something that happened between the moment he was delivered into his hands and the next day, that the centurion had enough respect and trust unto Paul that he could say, yeah, you can go visit your friends. A prisoner. So what was Paul doing in his conduct towards this centurion? It must have been good. And there's no way you can conduct yourself good to someone unless you pray for them. That's the secret, isn't it? In marriages, in families, in church. You can't really place yourself under the pastor here and enjoy his ministry without praying for him. You can't really enjoy your marriage with your wife and husband at home without praying for one another. It's not possible. You can't treat your children with respect unless you're praying for them. Your children cannot treat you with the respect you deserve as a parent unless they are praying for you. So prayer changes things. When you pray one for another, no wonder the Bible says prayer should be made for all men. Imagine what a world it would be if we all learned to pray one for another. It would change everything around here. So there was something in Paul's behavior and the way he conducted himself under this centurion, that within just one day of being given this prisoner to bring him to Rome, they haven't even left far from where they were. I'm not sure the name of the place. But they were only gone one day. And already this centurion had enough trust to Paul to say, yeah, you can go. Come back because we are catching the next flight. A prisoner. Imagine they want to deport you. And you get, by the time you get to the airport, the guardie has enough trust in you to say, okay, yeah, go and take pictures with your friends who wait for you here. Ah. You run, yeah. But they trusted Paul enough and said, no, go and refresh yourself, see your friends, and then come back and we catch the next ship. What an example. What an example Paul was. And so the journey continued because Paul came back. He didn't run away. He came back. Now, verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. This is very interesting. Okay? You have to learn to read between the lines in the scriptures. This is very interesting because here is Paul giving advice to his captors. Can you think of that? I mean, if you have ever been a soldier, maybe Brother Eli has the benefit of that. You don't put someone under arrest and then consider the advice that person gives you. You're a prisoner, like, you know. But here was Paul, a prisoner, and they were discussing, should we sail or should we not sail? And Paul was given a platform to address these people. He wasn't a sailor. He had no experience of being a sailor. But he gave them advice and he admonished them and said unto them, says, with respect. Do you see how Paul conducted himself with people? Says, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. So imagine Paul giving advice to the centurion, the ship captain, and the ship owner to say, we shouldn't be sailing. My. And he addresses them with respect. Just that act of him being given the opportunity to give advice should tell you something about Paul. That he treated those in authority with respect. And you cannot do that unless you are praying for those people. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. It's unfortunate that this happened. But God sometimes uses that to test you and me. That he puts people in your influence, under your influence, and you advise them the best you can, and then maybe they don't listen to you. It's God testing you too. See, how will you react? And then those people get in trouble. You are the one to rescue them. God is testing you. You don't now turn around and say, yeah, I told you so. You should have listened to me. Even though we must do that. Because that's how people learn. But you should do it with a clear, a pure heart. Not a heart that says, now I want you to be punished and suffer. You are doing it so that the person can learn from their mistakes. Because that's exactly what happened. Paul told them this would be a perilous journey if we go. We shouldn't go. But they didn't listen to Paul and they got in trouble. Then we can skip down to verse number 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. So the boat was not in control anymore, and they had to work very hard to bring it by. Which when they had taken up, they used helps under getting the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They began to throw things. I'm just reading these verses so you can see how much trouble these people got into. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. This was not an easy thing. It was a difficult moment that they went through, yet they could have avoided all this by listening to Paul, but they didn't. And Paul was in that boat too. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, he still had respect for them. He said, says, you should have listened to me. That's why I say we should do this. But he didn't do it with, yeah, I want them to be punished. Let me go and tell her, you should have listened to me. Now you are suffering because, not that way. But in love, he said, you should have listened to me and not have lost from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So there is Paul coming to the rescue. He said, you should have listened to me with a good intent in his heart. And the very people that didn't listen to him, because he has them in respect, because they are in authority over his life at this time, he goes and begins to cheer them up. Paul did. And in all his reference and speaking to them, he says, verse 25, wherefore says, be of good cheer, respecting one another. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Because the angel of the Lord had appeared to him and told him about these people. What's going to happen? How can the angel of the Lord appear to Paul when he's lying there on his bed and saying, yeah, let them suffer a little bit. They should have listened to me. They didn't listen to me. Let them suffer. Do you think the angel of the Lord will appear under circumstances like that? But the angel of the Lord will appear when you are praying and making intercession for all men. Amen. That's how to read between the lines. Paul was making intercession even for the people that didn't listen to him, and his very life was in danger. They could have all drowned and died. But Paul was making intercession and praying for them as he had taught Timothy to do. He was doing the same thing, and while he was in prayer, the Bible says after long abstinence, Paul had been fasting. For all this time they were in trouble, he was praying and fasting. Then the angel of the Lord appeared, said, don't worry, Paul. All these people I've given to you, none of them will die. You see how when you live according to Scripture, the things that God can do for you. When you pray, it's a simple thing. Pray for all men. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your college teachers. Pray for the bus driver. Pray for all these things. It's pleasing unto God. And God does things like this when you pray for people. He's not going to come when you are sitting there and having a feast on your own in your house and stuffing your stomach. I mean, which is not wrong. I mean, maybe it's wrong, but... And then the angel of the Lord comes. No, when you think about God, when you pray for people, when you are praying over somebody's burden, God quickens the solution to you. That's what Paul was doing here. And it was pleasing unto God, and the angel came. We'll skip here about these other people that wanted to run away. But Paul encouraged them and said, be of good cheer. And he says, take some meat and everything. He was really concerned for their welfare. Now, verse 42, and the soldiers counsel, this is now when they see the ship is going to break apart, and the soldiers counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to serve Paul, kept them from their purpose. You see how, what an impression this centurion Paul had made on his life. He had made such an impression on the life of this man that when the soldier said, let's kill all the prisoners just in case they run away, this centurion said no. Why? Because he was willing to save the life of Paul. He had made such an impact on his life. Paul was saved Why? Because the Bible says, pray for all men that we may live peaceably. You see now how God can use whatever situation to save your life. Because Paul's life was saved here because he was praying for all those in authority over his life. Not only that, but they get then shipwrecked, and this ship breaks down, and they are on this island called Melita, and they make a fire and everything. Chapter 28, verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. So they were convinced this man is a murderer. But there was something about Paul. Whatever he was doing in his life was pleasing to God. He was, it's simple, he wrote it in Timothy, yeah? Pray for all men. And he would do that. And because it was pleasing to God, look at the results of what he did. It saved all the men on the ship. And even though he was going to die from this venomous snake, and these people were convinced that he was a murderer, the Bible says in verse 5, and he shook off the beast unto the fire and felt no harm. That in itself is a miracle. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. Brother, you can be called a devil in one sentence and then in the next, a god. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. I mean, it was pleasing to God. So everything that was happening in Paul's life, God was using it for a purpose. Because these barbarians, though they were barbarians, uncivilized people it means, yet when they saw that there was something about this man, God was using it to turn the hearts of these people. Even this whole shipwreck that happened so that Paul could be on that island. Because he was praying for the unsaved people in the world, and God used every situation to bring Paul to where the people are needing salvation. You see how God, when it is pleasing, the way you live your life, he can use every situation in your life to bring salvation to the hearts of the people that are seeking. Sometimes we come here on a Friday night, and the people over there, they park in front of us, they park this and that way, and we block them sometimes, you know. And the other week, they were parked there, and Brother George was like, oh no, next time they come, we should tell them, if you want us to unblock your car, you should come to church first, you know. So we laughed about it. Then last week, Friday, we came, they had parked their vans there, and there was really not much parking, you know, for us. So I parked my car, Brother Max came, I gave him my space, I parked in front of that van, because it would be easier when they are going. I just get up and move my car. And the man came while Brother Faithful was preaching here. And he was standing there looking to see, hey, can I disturb that man? I don't think. And these people are jiu-jitsu people, you know, they can beat you up. So I saw the man and I let him stand there a little bit so he could hear a bit. Yeah. Then I went out there. He said, whose black car is it? I said, it's mine. Oh, please, can you move it? You know, I would like to go. I said, sure, you know. And he said, is that church in there? I said, yeah, it's church. Do you want to come in a bit and listen? He said, I don't know. I used to go to church a long time ago. I said, so what happened? Why did you stop going to church, you know? He said, life, you know, man. And I stood there with the man. And I said, look, man, you never know what could happen in your life. You've got to make your life right with the Lord, you know? He said, I know that, man, but it's just so hard for me. I said, no, it's not hard. It's as simple as just coming in and sitting down and listen a little bit. And he said, I think I will. I said, don't put it off. You know, you'd never know if you reach your destination. You better make your life right with God. He said, I think I will. Thank you. So God can use any situation in your life. When you are burdened or when you're ambitious enough, like our brother was saying on Friday, for lost souls. Paul was that kind of a man. He preached the gospel. He exhorted people to preach the same, but he went beyond that. His life, he lived according to what he preached. May the Lord bless you this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once more, Lord, for your grace and your mercies to afford us this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Father, as we look in these scriptures, we see how much we live beyond and lower than our privilege, Lord. For when we take your word, Lord, Father, and do exactly as it says, it is pleasing and good unto you, Father. And so this morning, Lord, having looked at this word, help us, Lord, that we may live our lives according to it and pray for all men, Lord, regardless, Lord, of our preferences or this and that. Father, help us, Lord, that this may be our desire, is to do what your word says. Bless now, Lord, Father, the saints as we start song service. May you use our musicians, Lord, to bring us into worship. Bless, Lord, Father, the minister with your presence. May you use him this morning, Lord, to speak thy word, remembering our pastor in Serbia, that you also be with him and use him this morning to bless the saints with thy visitation, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.